You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, from Naturopathic Earth. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Occult Health News. I hope you're doing well on this post-Thanksgiving Monday. Before we begin, the website is naturopathicearth.com. Go check out the articles. Go check out the recipes. Go check out the pictures. Go check it out. It is very informative. Also, there's great links there to things that help support this Weber Prize. On the right side of the homepage, you'll see a orange Patreon sign. Click on that, and it sends you straight to our Patreon, our crowdfunding account. Please donate $1, $5 a month. It's just the same price as overpriced coffee from Starbucks, aka the McDonald's of coffee. So please consider donating. Also on the right side, you'll see a link to my ebook memoirs, Confessions of an Obese Child, which you can buy on Amazon, Kindle, or Barnes & Noble Nook. Click on that. You can go buy that for $2.99, or if you have the unlimited for Kindle, you can read it right after you listen to this podcast. Also, I am a paleo-inspired holistic health coach. If any of you are in the need to lose weight, please contact me. I can help you out. As you guys know, most of you listen to this podcast regularly. And if not, I have the new blog thread titled How I Lost Over 100 Pounds and Kept It Off for 25 Plus Years. I did do that, and I'm continuing to do that. So I have some certain insight that certainly your trainers, albeit great trainers that they are, they can't have the insight unless they're overweight or were overweight or have food addiction or disordered eating that I provide. So please contact me if you really need to lose some weight or you want a guru to help you out. All right, now before we begin talking about the big case over in California with Roundup, I want to muse and opine on Thanksgiving. I have an article that I wrote on Thanksgiving and published it that day about how I think Thanksgiving is an extremely overrated holiday. And for more information on that, on my strong take or my hot take, as they would say on sports radio, I would just mention two quick things. Thanksgiving is so boring that after we eat, we have nothing to do. There's no accoutrement, there's no gifts, there's nothing to do. So what do? We just watch football. We'll watch football and we just sit around and eat. Also, notice right after Halloween, right? They put out the Halloween cookies and candies, what, I don't know, in July practically. But the day after Halloween, right? We don't go to the Thanksgiving themed candy that M&M's and Hershey's does. No, we go straight into Christmas. Why is that? Because Thanksgiving is an overrated holiday and a big advertising season, then certainly you know it's true. And the other way you know it's true is because, especially in the last 10 years, look what they do on Black Friday. Black Friday used to start, what, midnight on Friday morning, and now we've moved it up to 6 p.m., 9 p.m. Why is that? Because they know what I'm telling you right now. Thanksgiving is overrated. People are bored because all we do is it's a binge feast day, and they're like, well, let's open earlier because we got something to do, and so now they're just moving that up into actual Thanksgiving Day. And what makes me so angry, it's they don't even care about the people who have to work on that day, on Thanksgiving Day, at these big business stores. They don't even care. It's frustrating. Like, oh, yeah, I wasn't celebrating Thanksgiving, but now I get open up at 6. It's extremely frustrating. So check out that article. All right, let's talk about Roundup. All right, I'm sipping on my ginger turmeric tea from Numi. I think this is my second favorite tea after matcha. Great compendium occult health news podcast episodes to listen to along with this one would be 108. 108 is when I talk about how Roundup glyphosate is found in something like 100% of wines. And the other one would be 58. Episode 58 is when I talk about common class 1 carcinogens found in our homes. So those are great kind of primers or post-listen to primers to this episode that we're talking about, the evil Monsanto. All right, so what we're going to talk about today is like recently, as in like a few days ago, of a big announcement of a big verdict that came out over in California about Monsanto's super popular weed killer Roundup being found to be directly responsible for the cancer that somebody got who used to spray it quite often for their job. All right, so we're going to glean from an article from France, because who says, you know, the American press is so biased. It's called Monsanto Appeals Verdict in Weed Killer Cancer Trial. Monsanto on this Tuesday, said it is asking an appeals court to toss out a damning verdict in a landmark Roundup weed killer cancer trial and grant it another try. Quote, by its appeal from the judgment and amended judgment, Monsanto also seeks appellate review of the trial court's order denying Monsanto's motion for new trial. Close quote. An attorney for the agrochemical demonic agribusiness colossus said in a filed notice of appeal. The notice is the first step of the appeal process. A cancer-stricken groundskeeper last month accepted a slashed award in the trial, which was focused on weed killer Roundup and a professional version of the herbicide called Ranger Pro. So it's like an upgrade of Roundup. Judge Suzanne Bolanos, Latina way, who presided over the case in California State Court, denied Monsanto's request for a new trial, but cut the $289 million damages award to $78 million to comply with the law regarding how punitive damages awards must be calculated. All right, so we went down from $289 to $78 million. Now, granted, to you and me, that's a lot of money. To Monsanto and big business, this is pennies. Bolanos denied a request by Monsanto to toss out the jury's overall verdict against the company. Yeah, I'm sure they wanted that. Jurors in August, which was when the original court verdict was announced, unanimously found that Monsanto acted with, quote, malice, close quote, and that its weed killers Roundup and Ranger Pro contributed substantially, in quotes, to Dwayne Lee Johnson's terminal illness. The jury ordered Monsanto to pay $250 million in punitive damages along with compensatory damages and other costs, bringing the total figure to nearly $290 million. Now, I always wondered, when you hear about these cases, like how much is the actual client getting? I mean, because it's insane. I mean, look, we've heard about that classic case about McDonald's where the woman poured her overly hot coffee on her thigh and it burnt her and she got millions of dollars from that. But even in this case, it's sad that this man, of course, has cancer. But how much of the $290 is he getting? How much of this is going to lawyer fees and all the other things? And even so, $290, I mean, I guess it's great for his family to get it, but, you know, it's not going to hurt Monsanto. The bad publicity and the infamy will hurt them more, but to most sheeple who won't even hear about this, they'll keep buying Roundup, unfortunately. Johnson, the poor victim, a California groundskeeper diagnosed in 2014 with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, a cancer that affects white blood cells, says he repeatedly used Ranger Pro while working at a school in Benicia, California. He was diagnosed with the cancer at 42. Man, I'm feeling old because he was younger than I am, 42. Monsanto parent company Bayer, who bought the company not that long ago, at the time called the reduced punitive damage award a, quote, step in the right direction, yeah, because they don't have to pay as much, quote, but held firm in its argument that the jury's decision was not supported by evidence at trial. All right, look, I don't know much about courts and judges and juries and court cases, aside from what I watch from Ally McBeal and Law and Order and all this thing. But the last time I checked, and I could be wrong, don't both sides get to present evidence? Don't both sides get to present it? So when they're like, oh, yeah, this should be thrown out, the stuff that was brought up, it was wrong. But don't you have evidence that you can bring up as well? And if both are brought up, and I could be wrong, If both sides bring up the case and you still lose unanimously by a jury, maybe you lost for a reason, Monsanto, evil Monsanto. Johnson's lawsuit built on a 2015 findings by the IARC, part of the UN's World Health Organization, which classified Roundup's main ingredient, glyphosate, as a probable carcinogen, causing the state of California to follow suit. All right. We've mentioned glyphosate many times in this in the website and on this MPE thread, how it is horrible. It's a hormone disruptor, causes infertility, and it causes cancer, and it should be completely banned. And luckily for California, good for California, and that they have that proposition, I can't remember the name of it, I think it's 57, where they passed many years ago, if not decades ago. And I mentioned in the California, the coffee acrylamide episode, where now in California, they have to mention at all coffee establishments that acrylamide is a byproduct that's made when roasting coffee, and that that too is a carcinogen. But in general, you might have noticed on a lot of your toxic sprays and your Lysol and all this, there might be a little signage on the back of the bottle that says this product has ingredients that are known to cause cancer in the state of California. Because California passed this proposition where they are required by law, manufacturers of chemicals and food or whatnot, to post this. Now, whether or not people read it is a separate thing. So good for California. I'm not a big fan of the state. I think it's beautiful, but they're way too leftist for me. But I always laud them for at least pushing for that, which is great. Monsanto has defended the weed killer, Roundup, arguing that it has a history of safe use that dates back more than 40 years. The lawsuit is the first to accuse the product of causing cancer, but observers say a Monsanto defeat likely opens the door to thousands of other claims against the company, which was recently acquired by Germany's Bayer. Oh, Bayer. Bayer has so many great connections to Hitler and Nazism. You need to check that out, too. Krupp. Krupp's another company. Tyson, all these elevator makers. Every time I get into an elevator where I see Krupp or Tyson, I'm like, oh, Hitler, be loving you. Roundup is Monsanto's leading product. Oh, but wait, we're going to talk about other great quote-unquote things that Monsanto has been pioneering for the last 100 years. Founded in 1901 in St. Louis, Missouri, Monsanto began producing agrochemicals in the 1940s. It was acquired by Bayer for more than $62 billion in June of 2018. Monsanto launched Roundup in 1976 and soon thereafter began genetically modifying plants. Oh, GMO! Making some resistant to Roundup. All right, let's take a quick break. All right, so I've joked in the past that Monsanto is the evil corporation that Lucifer runs from the bowels of hell. I was once in Lisbon, I've been there a couple times actually, and Lisbon's biggest promontory or hill is a hill called Monsanto. And I remember being there in 1995, and then I was there, I think it was probably like 2007. And I remember seeing that hill. I was like, I wonder if Monsanto is from here. But no, apparently it's from St. Louis. So we're just going to briefly talk about all the great things that this benevolent, saintly company has been responsible for since its founding in 1901. So the first thing is that it was pioneering plastics in the early 1920s. And one of the things that they pioneered were polychlorinated biphenyls or PCBs. PCBs, we did an episode on phthalates and on PFOAs, which come off of Teflon and nonstick pans. So check out those episodes. I think they're in the episode 60s. But PCBs were around and they were eventually banned after 50 years of causing devastation. It's so pervasive that they can still find PCBs in the blood and tissues of people across the globe. But wait, there's more that they provided us. Later on in the 1940s, they began research on uranium to be used for the Manhattan Project. That's the first atomic bomb. Later on, they pioneered research into dioxins. Dioxins are a type of chemical ingredient that are a class one carcinogen. Later on in the 60s, they partnered with another great company, Dow. We've mentioned Dow Company. We mentioned Alcoa, which is the Aluminum Company of America. These are two big chemical companies. They partnered together in the 60s to make something called Agent Orange. You old timers will know what Agent Orange was. So Agent Orange was commonly used to defoliate the jungle, right? Because Indochina, where Vietnam's located, is highly jungle-esque. And so they would spray this down there. And again, the cover-up was humongous. They knew it caused teratogenic effects, birth defects. They knew it caused cancer. And so for decades, they would cover it up. So when servicemen came back, along with napalm, but when servicemen came back complaining of cancer and all these horrible problems, infertility, hormone disruption, they covered it up for decades. And they were involved in making this stuff. Later on in the 70s is when they started doing research along with their partner, G.D. Searle, on aspartame. We've talked about aspartame before on the episode on artificial sweeteners. And honestly, we do need to do a standalone episode because I think we've mentioned it on our review of non-sugar sweeteners. And we talk about aspartame. And I'm sure we've talked about it in the Eat Clean Pantry. But aspartame's history is fascinating. Back in the 60s and 70s, it was found as an anti-ulcer drug. It was like accidentally found. And there was a scientist, Olney, I think Olney was his name, and Olney did all the studies for Searle, this company who found it, who was a partner of Monsanto or subsidiary of Monsanto. And all the studies show that it caused tumor in rats, seizures in rats. And Olney published all this stuff and said, this is horrible stuff. This stuff should never be allowed to be used for human consumption. And so for 20 years, it was banned. And then later, when Reagan became president in 1981, he fired the head of the FDA who was against it and brought in a guy named Dr. Arthur Hayes Hull to lead up the FDA. And at that point, hey, Reagan stooge approved the use of aspartame for human consumption. And so it was quickly put in sodas. And even now, if you look at most sodas that are diet, they still have aspartame. Now they have other sweeteners. They put in acesulfame and potassium. That's the more common super sweet one. But good old Monsanto and its subsidiaries are responsible for that horrible carcinogen that's in so many products. And we talk about it in a previous episode. I think it's on the one, how to get rid of type 2 diabetes, which is around episode 80, how so many endocrinologists and family doctors tell diabetics to drink diet sodas. And it's just like, please don't. And all the studies show too, people who drink a lot of diet sodas end up being more overweight. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Part of it is that it leads to fat storage, but the main reason is because it doesn't satiate the sweet tooth. And so it doesn't have that feedback loop. Like when you normally eat too much sweets, you go like, oh my God, I can't eat anymore. But because it's fake, the body can't register the aspartame. And so you end up overindulging in sweets. And that's one of the many reasons why people who drink a lot of diet sodas end up being more obese. And there's other issues with aspartame. It breaks down into formaldehyde and rat poison in the body. It's just horrible. It's a horrible ingredient. And I wish it never existed. And you know, some of the known side effects of aspartame ingestion, and this is not for everybody, but I mean, they did a lot of studies on this before it was approved in 1980. And dizziness, depression, violence, blindness, fatigue, weight gain, insomnia, weakness, spasms, anxiety, and so forth and so forth and so forth. So, and then really the last thing, I should mention, in the 90s, they pioneered recombinant bovine somatotropin hormone or recombinant bovine growth hormone, RBGH, RBST, which we commonly find in milk. If you go to that episode that we did on milk, which I believe is around episode 71, we talk about the dangers with RBGH dairy, and in particular milk. And that's why when you look at organic yogurt milk, it'll say RBGH free, RBST free. But Monsanto, the benevolent Monsanto was responsible for that as well, being put into all of our dairy to make our poor cows produce more milk. So yeah, we got to thank them for that. And of course, probably the most famous thing they're known for in the last 20, 25 years is glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, the weed killer. And so that is in everything, because even if you're not spraying it in your backyard, all these agribusiness companies are spraying it on their produce, our future vegetables, our future fruits and so forth. And then even the organic areas, they're getting it because the wind will push the glyphosate over into these areas. And so now we have all this glyphosate resistant produce. And so they have to spray more glyphosate on these things to kill the weeds. And it's just a horrible Franken ingredient that is causing so much despair. So Monsanto, yeah. Monsanto also created, I forgot to mention when we talked about aspartame, saccharin, which was the first artificial sweetener. They created that. And so, yes, we need to love our Monsanto. All right, let's finish up. Okay, so what can we say? Monsanto is horrible. We know that businesses in general, and big pharma, of course, we know, and big medical device, go back to that episode we did on medical devices around 130, they will get away with what they can get away with. So they're going to find chemicals that make whatever work better, whether it be optimizing, quote unquote, optimizing the body's performance or functioning or production of something, or it's going to be increasing the yield of a certain crop or whatever it is. And they'll cover up as much as they can all the hazards and the pernicious effects that it has on the human body as long as they can, because there's profit to be made from us. We are just sheeple, chattel, goyim, whatever term you want to use, to these companies to make a profit out of us. And then when they're caught, they're like, what? We didn't know what? Okay. Or they'll do what Monsanto is doing here. They'll do a reverse PR campaign to dismiss and blacklist any organization that's saying that they're wrong, that in fact, whatever ingredient is bad for you. And of course, they could spend billions literally on advertising to shut out and shut up whoever's telling you that it is bad for you. And of course, they'll quietly settle out of court. All these companies will, for all the court cases that were damning enough, where they'll pay out a mil to 20, 30 mil because they know they can still make money from future sheeple. And then you're saying, well, Gregory, let's ban this. Well, of course, we would love to ban it, but these companies have their whores in Hollywood called the lobbyists who are greasing the skids of the politicians. So the American petrochemical industry lobbyist group, you know, the American plastics industry, all the humongous big pharmaceutical lobbyist groups, their job is to buy off politicians. And so unless you have some Mr. Chips kind of guy, a good old naive type of politician who's coming in who wants a clean house, yeah, good luck. He isn't going to get reelected. He's not going to get reelected, or he'll have some accident if he gets close to it. So look, in some cases, like in this case, where this judge in California, it's going against Monsanto. I think that's great, and that's why I want to do this episode on it, because I wanted to bring attention to it, to my small yet passionate audience compared to CNN and USA Today and all these other places. But so I definitely want to laud the California for bringing this out into the open. But you know what? This is going to get swept under the rug in 6 months, a year from now, and we'll blink. And in 20 years, we're still going to see Roundup at our Home Depot and Lowe's. And it's still going to be causing hormone disruption and infertility and cancer, along with all the host of other chemicals that we've talked about here, like Teflon, which is banned now in the EU, PFOAs, PCBs, the parabens, the food dyes, monosodium glutamate, red number 40, potassium sorbate, sodium nitrate. I mean, all these, just right off the top of my head, I can think of, they're all going to be around. They're all still going to be around. So what can we do? All we can really do is tell our loved ones to stop using them and don't use them ourselves. So guys, if you don't know already, stop using Roundup. I'm sure you could Google and find non-toxic weed killers. Who knows? I spray lavender and vinegar on everything, and I'm a little bummed because my 19-month-old, I think she hid my spray bottle that's full of vinegar and soap and essential oil, so I can't clean everything. And you know, at that age, they just grab everything and hide everything. So who knows? Maybe vinegar would work outside. But my point is, clearly, don't ever use Roundup again. Tell your family not to use Roundup again. If they're incredulous about it, tell them about this court case in California. And in general, if there are natural ways to clean or kill weeds or to cook your food, as in the case with nonstick Teflon toxicity, or to spice your food a certain way, as in the case with MSGs, then let's go with the natural remedies, the naturopathic approach, and avoid these toxins to the best that we can. Can we avoid every toxin that's emanating from our house, like VOCs? No, but we can certainly limit the amount that we are exposed to at our home. Can we do that at our office? Not really, because all that EMF radiation is going to be hard to avoid. But sure, you can have salt lamps, for example, and there's things that you can do in your office and in your cubicle to offset those to a certain extent. But definitely at home, you are the master of your domain, to quote Seinfeld. And yes, you can implement things that would help. So pass this on to other people. As always, guys, post a review for MP Radio and Occult Health News, for Kate's Apothecary and Confessions of an Obishad. It would mean a lot to us. And as always, subscribe. Hit that button right now on your phone, and these episodes come directly to you, and then you can listen to them at your leisure and share them with others. And as always, guys, go to the website, opt in, and you get all the essential oil recipes and all my hot takes, like on Thanksgiving being overrated, being sent directly to your phone. Till next time, guys. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.